Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am sure that at one time or another we've all been in need of healing or have known someone who has been. I can think of myself personally. I think I was about in the third grade trying to build a birdhouse when I badly cut my thumb with a saw and was in need of immediate medical assistance. Thank heavens the neighbor took me 20 miles to the doctor's office. He sewed it up, came back, and everything was fine again. In our text, gospel text for today, we read of how God heals people, in this case, particular case, 10 lepers. And I think it would help us to understand that leprosy was a particularly vicious disease. It, I understand, attacks the nervous system beyond the brain and beyond the spine. It leads to discoloration. It leads to disfiguration. It is communicable, and for those in Jesus' day who were living in a face-to-face society where relationships were everything, to have leprosy was tantamount to a death sentence. And perhaps I should explain that by using this analogy. In our culture, we gain our identity pretty much by what we do. There are other things that go into it, but that's a strong factor. In the society of the Israelite people at the time of Christ, and in many other places around the world today, people have no identity except for insofar as they're members of a group or a community or a clan or a tribe. That's their identity. But if you had leprosy, you could forget about spending time with your family. You could forget about spending time with your extended family. You could forget about attending community events. You could forget about being together with other people, except for lepers. You could forget about going to work. You could forget about earning wages. You could forget about earning an income. And you could anticipate having to live on just handouts alone. And as we take that into consideration, I think it would be fair to say that any inmate of a maximum security prison in this country would have more opportunity for personal, interpersonal relations than would a leper in the days of Christ. We are told in the reading that 10 of them stood at a distance, maybe 20, 30 meters. They wouldn't have dared to come much closer and call out to say, simply, Lord, have pity on us. What did Jesus respond? Did he say something like, okay, you're healed? Nothing like that. He just said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Well, what were the priests going to do? Were they going to heal them? They couldn't do anything like that. And right there, we pick up on a cardinal point, and that is the necessity of faith when it comes to restoration and healing. These 10 lepers had it. When they left to go to see the priest, they were still lepers. They just had faith that on the way, this was going to change. By the time they got to the priest, they would be clean, cleansed. Now, the priest couldn't do the cleansing, but the priest's played an extremely important role, for they and they alone could declare a person to be clean and to be cleansed. And then that person could go back to his family and to his extended family, and this entire horrible episode would finally be over. So I think it would not be too much to say that leprosy, in the days of Christ at least, destroyed not only health, it destroyed identity. That's how severe it was. People are still in need of healing. Memories that were once strong become confused and may become weak. Bodies that were once strong become weak, may become diseased. Relationships that were once close become distant, and on we go. And there's one thing as these begin to happen that we should always keep in mind, and that is, go to Jesus first. Now, I don't know how many would be having one of these new 11S iPhones. They cost about $1,000 with three photo windows on it. But you can be sure that if you bought one and it began to act up, you wouldn't be going to any just clock shop in the strip mall to get it fixed. You'd take it to the maker. And that's a lesson for us, because Christ is our maker. God is the one who made us. And so when things start to go wrong, we are very well advised to go and to see him first. There is a need for restoration, and that restoration is provided by Christ alone. Now those 10 lepers, 9 of them went to see the priest, and they were healed, but they probably didn't really see it quite as Christ was presenting it, because they were Jewish people after all. And as Jewish people, they were proud of their traditions, they were proud of their heritage, they were proud of their religious customs. And it was kind of like, stay on the right side of the priest and the priest will take it from there. And there are a lot of religions in this world today that function exactly the same way. But Christ was presenting it differently. No, you come directly to me. And the Samaritan, at least, got a glimpse of that. Now, there's a lot of healing yet to be done. As we think of the situation in Lake Forest, or even globally, for example, we are told that there were at the beginning of this calendar year 70 million refugees that had been uprooted from their homes by civil war, strife of some kind, and had no home to call their own. And there's a lot that we condemn, because many of these have come to this country. There are maybe 20 or 30 million refugees at least that are finding a home in the USA. And we can reach out to people like that, and we can help them. There are many things that they need. In fact, they need practically everything when they come here. The need, most of all, is a friend. And it's an opportunity for each and every one of us. But as we would step out on that journey, we would need to remember that true restoration is only possible through Christ. As we approach Thanksgiving tomorrow, we know we have a lot to be thankful for. We live in a country that's pretty much the envy of a lot of people around the world. Let me ask you, have any of you been to a U.S. embassy in what we might call a third world nation and seen the line out the door and around the block, people applying for admission to the U.S.? Or how many of us have ever been in a federal courthouse at the time of a naturalization ceremony. Carol and I have gone to three or four of them. In St. Louis, it's 11 o'clock every Friday morning. And every time they have one of these, if you go, you'll be given a program, and on that program, there'll be 50 to 55 names every single Friday, every day of the week. And you can be sure that if it's happening in St. Louis like that, it's happening in Chicago, it's happening in Los Angeles, happening in New York, and probably about 90 other cities as well, or maybe more. And of those 50 or 55 names, you will note rather quickly that they come from at least 25 to 30 different nations consistently. It's still the place where a whole lot of people want to be. But as we reflect on that, and as we think about the prayers we need to place before our Lord, as we accept the bounties that we're going to enjoy tomorrow, we need to also remember in our prayers a troubled nation, people that don't have as much as many of us do, people who are conflicted perhaps by uncertainty, people who have gone through changes in life that have not been favorable, people who once had a sense of direction and now have no sense of direction, people who once were close to Christ and now have stepped away, and other situations that are similar. As we reflect upon all that, and as we send off our prayers with all of this in mind, let us keep one thing uppermost, and that is that true restoration between ourselves and Christ and God is only possible through Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue now by